Well, welcome to everybody online as well as a few brave souls outside. It looks a little chilly, but it's toasty in here with all these folks. Look at us. Yeah. So I mentioned if you were here earlier, I think most of you were here when we did our prayer chaplain dedication just a bit ago. And I mentioned during that the water came from St. Anthony and St. Paul's monasteries. And that was a place that I visited during my sabbatical last year in Egypt. They were the first desert fathers, as I mentioned earlier. And over time, other desert mothers and fathers came to follow their lead in this aesthetic lifestyle. St. Anthony had a meditation cave up in the mountain, and people kind of demanded more of his attention, so he would come down periodically and hold them in prayer and support them. So very much like what our prayer chaplains do for us. So when I was there, I mentioned to my friend Becca, who lives and works in Cairo, that I was wanting to do this. And she said, would you mind if I organize something with a few more people? And I said, no, that'd be great. Well, she like had a bus of, I don't know how many people, but at least 50 of us went in this bus to these monasteries, but it was a long trek out to the desert from Cairo, and it was going to be a very long day because we were doing a round trip in the same day. So here we are in this packed bus, ready to go, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. Now, I imagine some of the people on the bus were really used to this Egyptian state security thing, but, you know, as the visiting American, I was not. So it took about an hour before the state security would finally let us go. And what was puzzling them so much is that our bus looked like the United Nations. I mean, we had, black, brown, yellow, white, and Burmese people, Japanese people, Sudanese people, Egyptian people, Americans, you know, you name it, we were all on the bus. And to them, it was like, why would this configuration of people be together going to do something? It's very suspicious, right? To me, it was like the picture of world peace, right? And on the bus itself, it was like that. It was just a very sweet experience. There were Sudanese refugees along with staff from STARS, St. Andrew's Refugee Services, where Becca works. And during that time, there was, you know, friendships made, just right even on the bus. People brought all this homemade food, and they would run it up from the back of the bus and offer us lunch, and then, you know, came from every direction, all these foods, and then somebody came up with a big bottle of soda that was kind of like a gold-green color, and I'm not a soda drinker, so I was, like, ready to say no thanks, and luckily I said it quiet enough that Becca said, drink it. I was like, oh, okay. We do not refuse the gift, right, because we're receiving the gift, so she drank it for me. Bless her. But, you know, just that whole experience of then when we arrived, hiking together, there was up to St. Anthony's, there was laughter, there was conversations, there were group photos taken together. We listened to chanting priests at St. Paul's. And I think we have one of the group photos. This is right outside of St. Anthony's cave. So this is a small subset of the folks who were there. But we've got from a baby to a guy that was like 7 feet and everything in between, right? So it was just this very rich experience. And then on the way home, these strangers, I noticed, some of whom had been strangers that morning, were sleeping on each other's shoulders. So sweet. So Becca is also a Lutheran minister. She used to be the minister down here, just down the street at St. Mark's. And I recently reached out to her and said, so what's going on there? And she said, oh, let me send you my update. So I'm not going to read it all in her words. I'll just kind of tell it to you and read some of it. But she sent this about her mother's visit during Christmas time. And so her mom came, and they were doing the Christmas Eve service at their church there, which is also on STARS property, the Refugee Services group. And she said, you know, we opened with joy to the world. And she's leading the service. And somebody, one of her colleagues, comes in and says, there's a Palestinian man being detained at the gate. So she had to leave the service. And she goes over there and she said, this guy is being aggressively questioned at the gate. And then she says, oh, he's welcome to come to the service. And they were like, just ignored that. And they continue to aggressively then question her as well. And she said, we're surrounded by all these armed guards. And she said it took 20 minutes of, in her words, hell, before they finally gave the man his passport and released him. So she's walking back and she's thinking, the irony of it all, that there's a Palestinian man at our gates that can't come in, and we are ostensibly celebrating a Palestinian man tonight at our Christmas Eve service. And so as she came back in and merged back in with the service, she said she didn't quite have the same Christmas spirit, but it all went well. A couple days later, she and her mom were at the metro station heading back to her workplace at Stars, and they got out of the station, and her mom grabs her arm and says, oh my gosh, that security card looks just like Rick. And she was referring to her son and Becca's late brother, Rick. And Becca said, wow, he really did. She hadn't noticed, but he really did look. He had the same green eyes, the same brown hair. She said, it could have been my brother's college photo, you know. And she said, but just what surprised her is her mom released her, and she just started striving over to the officer, and she raised up her arms. And she said, Becca says, to her great surprise, this guy smiles, and he reaches down, and he hugs her. And she says, then he takes out his camera and takes a selfie with her beaming mother. This guard was one of the guards that had detained Becca and the man on Christmas Eve. And so she says, she writes, Egypt confounds me. The same person hoisting a gun in your direction one day is hugging your grieving mother the next. What often seems lost in the midst of the chaos, that every person we encounter is somebody's daughter, somebody's son, somebody's sibling, somebody's parent. Becca's reflections, of course, are not limited to Egypt, right? This spans the globe. This idea that on one hand, we can be violent and separating and divisive and judgmental, and on the other hand, we can be compassionate and loving and forgiving and kind and warm and all about connection and relationship. This human walk is a paradox, isn't it? And we are constantly faced with that paradox, and we ourselves are often that paradox. I think that might be why Jesus so often was saying, you hypocrites. Do you remember that? He said that a lot in the scriptures, you hypocrites, whenever he got mad. And so, you know, what is it that allows us then to move to that place, to choose, instead of to be at war with, to be at peace with, to be in connection with, to be in a loving relationship with that group, our neighbor, our friend, our parent, our spouse, whatever the case may be? We tend to think of violence, you know, when we think about violence, we tend to talk about it in terms of guns and weapons and physical violence. And yet we all know violence can be so many other things, right? Words can be weapons. Thoughts and feelings and ways that we show up just in everyday life can have that kind of energy that has a strong, a forceful impact on people or on ourselves even. So recognizing the work is always here, right? Peace begins with us. It really does. It's not just a platitude. It does begin with us. I think our impetus is to look out into the world and say, oh, are we ever going to have peace? Are we ever going to achieve some kind of vision that we all hold for peace, where all life thrives in conscious oneness, for example, the vision we hold here, where everybody is spiritually awakened? Are we ever going to get there? And so the thing is, if we are looking out there, we'll see some beautiful examples of peace, and we'll see some disappointing things, right? But where does the change happen? Inside. If peace begins with me, then we must look to see, how are we showing up? How are we thinking and feeling and speaking and acting with the people that are closest to us? Start there, right? In here and as close as you can be, and then move out from there. That's how the peace happens. That's how the peace spreads. And that's how the peace lasts. Because once we get a taste of it and we know, oh, when I go back to Om, when I go back to that universal sound of creation, when I get back to my source, when I'm at that space where I feel connected again to my source and I'm consciously aware of that, then there can be nothing but peace, harmony, love, light, all of these things that are a part of and connected to one another. Has anybody ever heard of nonviolent communication? Yeah, a lot of you. We've had groups here, and connection practice has a little bit of that in there. Sometimes it's called compassionate communication. It was founded by Marshall Rosenberg, and Unity, many years ago at a Unity convention, Marshall was there before he made his transition, and I happened to be there that year. And I don't know if those of you who are aware of it, you know he used to use hand puppets. Right, that usually the giraffe was the heart, right? The speaking from the heart, and the jackal was the speaking from all the other places, right? And one time he had two puppets, and they were romantic partners. And he has one of them say to the other, "Do you love me?" And the other one says, "When?" And I've thought about that so many times, and it makes me laugh for one thing, but also it reminds me of what an important question that is. Because, you know, when we are in relationship, especially long-term relationships, and it doesn't matter if it's a romantic partner, a parent, a child, a friend, whatever, sibling, if you think about relationships over time, there's sort of this idea that, well, of course I love him, he's my brother, you know, and are you showing up in a way that looks like love, right? That's the question. Am I thinking, feeling, being, speaking something that is building peace between us, or am I tearing that down or throwing up barricades to that peace? So I love the question that Marshall posed, because it shakes us out of our assumptions. And it brings our relationships current to ask, well, how am I being now? If I'm supposedly in love with this person, or I love this person, am I being that? Am I showing that? Am I feeling that toward them? Am I thinking that about them? It's a big charge. It's a high charge to go back to this place again and again, right? And it is our work. It is our work to make peace in the world, to make peace within ourselves and in our interpersonal relationships. It's a huge peace. Imagine if even half the world found some inner peace and brought it into their closest relationships. Wouldn't that shift everything? Because in our closest relationships, we restore support. We restore all the things we need to be in the world in such a way, to embody these kinds of things in the world. So there's so much to it all. And so when I think about, you know, peace sometimes, and I think when peace is talked about sometimes, it's talked about like, you know, just chill, right? Zoned out, blissed out. And that's a part of peace. And peace can be very engaged. Peace can be very alive. Peace can be like a really big commitment that we make, that we walk and embody in our lives. So don't just, you know, pass it off as just, you know, all about calmness. It can be calm. It can still be calm energy, but it's calm energy that's engaged. It's calm energy that cares. It's calm energy that holds space. It's calm energy that keeps ourselves accountable for how we are walking the line of spirit, how we are connecting with our spirit and being that divine presence in the world. I am divine peace. I am peace. I am at peace. You know, I kind of have some peace. You know, we like sort of go, it goes out from there, right? And we start wherever we are. And then we bring ourselves back to that source, to that truth, and get re-energized, reminded, and inspired. Inspired means in spirit. We get back in spirit, and then we are inspired to be that in the world, to offer that peace to one another. I love that Marshall's teaching includes some humor, because humor is also a great way for us to come back together when there is some kind of schism. Brenly and I do that when we have a disagreement. One of us, and 9 times out of 10, it's something petty, so it really works well with the petty stuff. And one of us will just start laughing. You know, usually it's like, you know, we did our thing and then we're in different rooms and then somebody will come back into the room and just start laughing. And then we'll both laugh. And then it's just like, the energy dissipates, it's gone, it's flown away. I don't even remember what it was. And we are reconnected. Now, sometimes, I got to tell you, it's not fail-safe. Timing is everything in humor. And we don't always know. So be willing to take the risk, and sometimes it's going to bomb because the other person isn't ready to laugh. And that's okay too, right? And this is part of what happens in our long-term relationships, because we build trust over time. And we learn over time. And we take more risks over time. And sometimes, right now, we are being asked, I think, in our world, to bump that up a little bit and to begin to trust at higher levels, even with people we've not met before. And to be, maybe even to bring forth some humor, to bridge some of that tension that is in our world today. So many things we can do. These are just a few. Peace, of course, is an inside job first and foremost. And so this is where all the shift occurs, right? This is where everything happens. By shifting our thoughts, we shift then how we show up. And our feelings and actions then kind of line up accordingly. And it brings about greater peace. We can go from aversion, feeling an aversion towards someone or something, to acceptance. We can move from us judging ourselves or someone else to compassion. The shift can be quite miraculous and easy at times. It can be longer and more arduous at times. But the key is our commitment. So what's up with you in your life? Is there someone or something that you feel like, I'd like a little more peace between us? I want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment and just let that person arise in your heart, if there is someone. And what do you say about this person? What do you say to yourself about this person and their behaviors? Can you appreciate that they are different from you? Think of one way they are different from you and see if you can appreciate it. Is there anything you can learn from the different ways that they do things? It's different from how you would do it. I just invite you to bless this person now, just knowing that they too seek peace. They too want to remain peaceful in your relationship, harmonious, loving, kind. And as you bless them, you can open your eyes. I've noticed, and maybe you have too, that when I mind my own business, that I just realize that everything works better. When I do my own inner work, my relationship is enhanced automatically. Relationships, whatever they may be. And so Timber Hawkeye said it really well. Timber Hawkeye is the founder and author of Buddhist Boot Camp, among other books. And he's coming here on June 22nd. And Felicia and I were meeting with him this week, just kind of getting to know him and talking about what he's going to be offering. And one of the things he said in the course of the conversation was, people are not necessarily going to become less irritating. But we each can become less irritable. Right? So we aren't here to change anyone. You might want to say that. I'm not here to change anyone. Yeah, it doesn't work. We know this intellectually, right? We know this intellectually. And why we're here is to become our best selves. That's why we're here, to become our very best selves. As a result, life transforms around us. Things transform around us when we step in. Greater peace is a part of the outcomes that come by us being closer to the truest self, the best self that we can be. And I think it's often accompanied by deepened commitment and engagement to the idea of peace, of holding peace in a bigger way, and recognizing and really recognizing, really getting at a much deeper level that we are indeed participating in the peace in the world that we envision. And it's here. It's accessible. It's available. And more of it will become more accessible, more available, more visible as we do this work from within. So I think it's time for us to recommit to peace and to assess how we ourselves truly are the ones that peace begins with. Just as that soldier with Becca's mom laid down his arms and lifted up his arms for a hug and a selfie, we can do the same, right? Lay down your arms, whatever they may be, your words, your behaviors, and so on, that aren't productive to peace, and lift up your arms toward those connecting kinds of behaviors. Yes, there is peace, and peace begins with us. Let's say it together. Peace begins with me, and so it is.